welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zaro-Kopinski. This week, I'm thrilled to welcome author and illustrator Kelly Hill, a kindred spirit who has created a series of board books that has become a favorite in our household. Kelly Hill is the author and illustrator of the Anne of Green Gables-inspired board book series, with titles including Anne's Numbers, Anne's Colors, and the latest installments, Anne's Alphabet and Anne's Feelings. Kelly, whose middle name is Anne with an E, is an award-winning book designer. She does all kinds of crafting. The illustrations for these books are a combination of sewing and embroidery. Kelly lives near Eugenia, Ontario, with her husband and two daughters. Kelly Hill, welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm delighted to have you on.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
So before we get started, I mentioned I am a huge super fan of this series, and it is a big hit with my toddler as well. And because I'm such a big Anne of Green Gables fan, it makes me very happy when she keeps asking over and over again to read these, because I love reading them. And the illustrations and the artwork in here are so beautiful that when you do have a child that asks to keep reading it over and over, it's nice to get to keep looking at all the details. So yeah, I just love it. And I'm excited to hear more about how you created it, because it seems pretty unique. But I guess just to get started, I'd love to hear what inspired you to start this series.
Well, as you said, I'm a book designer in my day job, and that's for Penguin Random House. And so a few years ago, I had the dream project put in front of me of redesigning the whole series of Anne of Green Gables, along with the Emily series. And so one of the ideas I had for that was, one of the ideas I presented was that the covers look like sewing and embroidery. And that didn't end up being what the covers looked like for the hard covers, but because the publisher felt they looked a little bit young for the readers of the novels. But then I sort of tucked that away and thought, well, why not young? So I came up with an idea for an Anne of Green Gables alphabet book. And then Tundra Books, who is my publisher, was at the same time coming up with a whole series of Anne books for younger people. And so they came back to me, not with just an alphabet book, but they said, why not four books? And so that's what we ended up doing. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that they're board books. It's just fun, you know. Well, I did also start reading my daughter chapters of Anne of Green Gables right out of the hospital. So I shouldn't say that I've only started with the board books. But, you know, if you want to be more of a normal person and just start your little one off with the board books, it's nice to have those and to kind of share that love of Anne of Green Gables, I think, is so much fun. And these are just so bright and colorful. And how did you decide? So there was the alphabet book. Did you know at the start what all four titles would be before they had all been, well, I know they kind of got published two and then two.
Yeah. So I had sat with my editor and we decided that Numbers and Colors might be a little bit more best to do first. And so she had actually started coming up with some ideas as well. So we sat together and kind of worked those ones out. But with Anne's Numbers, it's a little bit different. The other three have scenes from Anne of Green Gables, but Anne's Numbers, I knew I wanted to do one book that was nature inspired. So that's, we decided to make that one a walk through the woods or through nature with Anne, and then she ends up at a picnic at the end. So it is still based on the book, but very focused on nature because Anne was so connected to nature. And so that's how that one came to be. And yeah, and then Anne's, we knew we wanted to do alphabet, and then Anne's Feelings. You know, we could have done shapes or we could have done other concepts, but I really felt like Anne's Feelings was the right thing to do because she has so many of them and they're so strong. Yeah. So I really wanted to go with Feelings.
I love Anne's Feelings, and it was interesting. I had noticed, so one of the pages is Anne is in the depths of despair, which any Anne fan will get enjoyment out of. But I had noticed on my own from my toddler reading it a bunch, what happened was, oh, despair came up in another book. And I was just sort of like, I wonder if that sunk in at all from reading Anne's Feelings. And I was like, what does despair mean? And she came up with sad from seeing the pictures in the book. And then I had posted about Anne's feelings. And another parent mentioned, like, oh, how great is it that you don't shy away from that big vocabulary with kids, that they can still, from the pictures and from reading it with a parent, get what something like the depths of despair is. And it's just so fun because it's from the book. But I think it's just such a nice way to get kids thinking about those different emotions. And for the littlest ones, just even just building that vocabulary a little bit, I think is great.
Absolutely. We, depths of despair was basically the first and most important feeling that we had to work everything else around, because everything else you can kind of change a little bit to be happy or whatever it is. But we knew we wanted the words depths of despair because that was so Anne. I feel like a lot of people are coming to feelings because, well, like I said, Anne had such strong ones, but I think toddlers have very strong feelings. And I often sign my books with feel all the feelings, because really trying to, you know, not have kids kind of tucking them away at all.
Yeah, so. No, I think that's great. Well, I'm curious, in reading them, you just sort of want to like stop and savor each page. They're so beautiful, all the illustrations. And I would love to hear how you went about creating them. And also, like, I love the color schemes for all the books. So even just, I'm curious about how you sort of decided on the style as well.
So yeah, I had been making, all of my friends started having babies all at once, and I decided I needed to start making things for these babies. And so that's where sort of the idea of making pictures and using text and doing it all with fabric came about. And then for these books, I start with a sketch, and then the better my sketch is, the easier it is to work with, because I make patterns to cut out the fabrics from my sketches. And then my favorite part is choosing the fabrics and setting it all up before I sew it. And
it sounds so fun. I am a very amateur sewer, very basic, and have done just like a couple quilts that are not anything to write home about. But I love seeing the different fabrics that are put together. And I don't know, it makes me want to try my hand at doing something like this. Well, just for fun. I mean, it just sounds like such a nice creative activity.
Well, that is my hope, that the moms and dads might feel like they want to make something after looking at these books, and that the kids do too. But the kids are easy to convince. You put anything in front of a child to make something with, and that's they'll do it. I'm hoping that the adults get inspired as well. So.
Yeah, for sure. and then the color scheme, and then also the, you know, you have pictures of some of the characters from the book. So of course, Anne, but also Marilla and Matthew and Gilbert and Diana. How did you sort of settle on each of their looks? Because there's been so many different illustrations. Was it hard to kind of decide how you wanted to portray them?
I kind of just went with, I started with Anne and then went from there, and just felt like I knew I wanted Matthew and Marilla to look very kid friendly, even though sometimes Marilla is not always portrayed that way. But for little children, I really wanted to make sure that all of them were appealing and also represented a wide range of people. I mean, these books aren't especially diverse, but right. Because they're based on a specific story. But yeah, I wanted to represent boys and girls and adults in a really appealing way to kids. So
I love that. And, you know, people who are fans of the book, I mean, every page you see a different reference to a scene that you think back on, like Anne in one I'm looking at is jumping on the bed. It's J is for jumping, and you've got L is for Lake of Shining Waters. And I would imagine that in some ways it was probably difficult to narrow down which like scenes and special moments you wanted to include. Did you sort of go back to the books, or you sort of maybe knew them so well that you it was easy to draw on the different scenes you wanted to portray?
Yeah, there were some scenes that I knew I wanted to portray right away, but then when you're doing a whole alphabet, I had to go back into the books and find certain things that represented each letter, and of course you have more than one for the P letter P. I wanted to do Prince Edward Island, but then we had to do puff sleeves, so we had to.
I love the P's for puff sleeves when it's so cute.
Right? Yeah. So we had to make some choices, and I did that with my editor and wanted to provide like the broadest range of what was in the books to what was in Anne of Green Gables in my books. And I love that you as a mother or as a parent are picking up on all of the little details that the children maybe haven't heard of yet. But that's part of what I wanted to do too, is I know what it's like as a mom to have to read books over and over again. And it's just better if there's a little something in there for moms and dads as well.
Yes, this is definitely a book that, you know, I get excited when she says again, because there's so much to see. And, you know, I'm always sort of subtly trying to hope that, you know, I'm laying the foundation for her to become a fan of Anne of Green Gables without pushing too hard. I think the board books are a nice introduction so that maybe when you do start reading the actual series, they have a little bit of background and it's something that is already kind of a special reading experience they've been a part of.
Yes. So my daughters are 7 and 9. So there's a lot of hope that they will love Anne of Green Gables. And we're reading chapter books at bedtime, but I haven't started Anne of Green Gables yet because I feel like there's so much at stake.
I know, there's so much pressure.
they'll like what they like, but I'm really hoping I know. They like Anne.
It's funny, we were just talking, I was chatting with my parents this morning that we were talking, and then I'm also talking with someone from the Anne of Green Gables Heritage Place on Prince Edward Island, and we were chatting like, I have to pick the exact right moment to go visit all the Anne places with her because I don't want to do it too soon and have her not appreciate it. But if I wait too long, maybe she's not going to be as excited. It's like, I feel like if you're a big Anne fan, you take all of this very seriously.
Exactly. I'm right there with you.
Well, I'm curious, have you always done embroidery and illustration, or is this something that you have started up in recent years?
Yeah, I guess I've always, like, from being a kid, I remember doing art all the time and saving those, like the paint by number paints, the extra that you have left over. And I remember painting pictures on paper with those paints, and then they were oil paints, so it all bled kind of out into the paper. And so I was painting with whatever I could, you know, get my hands on at the time. And then I started sewing probably at 9 or 10. My mom's a big sewer, and so I started doing that. I've always done kind of a variety. I was a knitter, or I am a knitter. So embroidery is fairly new to me, though. I think really I've just started with these books, so I was teaching myself a lot of embroidery stitches. I had to go to my mom for the French knot because I couldn't get that from an instruction book. I couldn't figure it out. So it's so much fun, and trying to figure out when I'm doing these illustrations, what's going to be sewn on a sewing machine and then what I'm going to leave to embroider afterwards, and using the sewing machine stitches as almost like drawing marks because you can see them. It's really fun to kind of play around with that and figure out how to make these pictures.
Well, because they're so detailed, and it is more than, I mean, illustrating takes a long time too, but I would imagine this might take even longer. What was the timeline like for each book? I would assume it was many, many, many hours to create these. Did it take a long time?
Yeah, it was a few months per book, I would say, to get the illustrations done. And that's with me working full time as a book designer as well.
Oh, wow.
But I did kind of, I thought, well, people are going to want to know, and I kind of want to know just for scheduling how long it takes me to do a page. Or, for example, in the Anne's Colors, one page is the words, and then the other page is the picture. And so to do both of those pages, it takes me about 8 hours. Wow. And that's once I have a sketch ready to go. So, yeah.
Very well.
But you can see it coming together, like just every step you take is like just getting a little bit closer. And yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm curious, could you talk a little bit more about your role as a book designer, mm-hmm. and what kinds of books you work on?
So Penguin Random House is obviously a large publisher, and I work out of their Toronto office, and it's Penguin Random House Canada. And so I design books, fiction, nonfiction. I've done cookbooks, and I do some of the children's books as well. It's a great job because there's always such variety to what I'm working on. And also because we're a big publisher, we have a lot of quite famous authors to work on as well. So that's always exciting to do designing for some of your favorite authors as well. And so I feel like my day job is also very creative career. And I feel really lucky that way.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, so depending on the book, at what point do you start to get involved as the designer? And like, where does your role end and like the illustrator begin in terms of the designing of the book?
Yeah, so if you're working on children's books, the designer's involved fairly early. The illustrator hands in roughs to the publisher, rough sketches, and then a designer will put them right into pages with the text and everything, and so that when the illustrator is ready to go to final art, they know where the text is going to be and how much space they need to leave for that. And that's all the designer has to kind of sort that all out. But I feel like for children's books, a large part of what the designer does is make sure that the art can shine. And I really try very hard not to get too designy with a lot of kids' books. You want to feature the illustrations. Then it was interesting with my own books. The first two that I did, my boss, who's the art director, wanted someone else to design them. Just so that I could separate my role as the illustrator and author from my job as a designer. But for me, I did end up designing the last two, because for me, I can't quite figure out where my job as an illustrator versus my job as a designer begins and ends on my own work, because I'm sewing the type, and typically the type would be part of the designer's job. But for me, it was all kind of all together. And I couldn't make that distinction very well. So I got to design my own books for the second two.
That's awesome. And I feel like it's kind of rare. It's probably very rare to have all three of those jobs, author, illustrator, and designer on a particular book. So that's very cool that you had such ownership of it.
Yeah, it was amazing. And there are some very talented people in book publishing. I know of a couple of people who have become illustrators and authors, and are also designers. So it's not that unusual within the industry, actually.
That's very cool. Well, I always love hearing about sort of creative routines for authors and illustrators. And since you were doing the books, in addition to your full-time job, did you have a routine that worked for you in terms of creating the artwork and working on the books, like trying to get to like a set number of illustrations a week or working on a certain time of day?
Yeah. So as a mom, what was left for me at the end of the day was at the very end of the day when I would put my kids to bed, and then I would head down. I have a sewing room. Some people call it a studio. It's down in my basement, and I would go down there at 9 o'clock at night and work until 11 or so and see what I could accomplish. And of course I had to take some weekends to work on things as well, or some days off here and there. But yeah, that was kind of my routine, was to go work on it later in the evening. And my husband is funny. He would tell me that he could hear when I was getting kind of impatient with things because the sewing machine starts going faster. And he could tell things were winding down.
That's great. I think that's so inspiring. I always love hearing how the books come to be. And I think for a lot of people, it does take, you know, that real persistence and sacrifice. Like, you're tired after you put your kids to bed, but you're going and working on these. And then to have them, I'm just sure it must be so exciting to see the finished books and how well they've been received, and to know that all that work went into them. It's exciting.
It is. And it's thrilling still to get, you know, you send your book off to the printer, and I've sent lots of books off to printers as a designer. But then when they come back and they're yours and they're an actual real live book, it is. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that I'm a very amateur sewer, and I am inspired by this. I'm curious. I know you were saying you kind of taught yourself. Do you, and you might not, but do you have any, like books or like resources or anything that you use that you'd want to recommend, or were you mostly sort of, you had enough experience that you were sort of just playing with it on your own?
Yeah. So my major resource is my mother, as a, mm-hmm. she's a sewer and has been sewing all of her life. But I would say she also has a group of ladies that she meets with to sew, and she's also a rug hooker as well. And so, but it's funny because when I started doing my pictures, I don't work in a traditional quilting way. I don't turn under the edges of my fabric, and I use white thread to contrast with the fabric so that you can see the sewing. And so my mother tells me that my style is raw edge machine applique, and who knew, and it's sort of funny that all of these ladies that she does quilting with, it's really not the same type. I was sort of nervous for them to see my work because I felt like it's not really like what they do. A lot of times with sewing, you're trying to hide your stitches, and I was really trying to make sure people knew that these pictures were being made that way with fabric and sewing, and not trying to pretend that it was something else. So,
right. Yeah. And that adds such an interesting layer to it. They just look so beautiful that way.
Yeah. And all of the texture of the fabric as well. So that was really important when we went to photograph the pieces for the book. So that's, once the pieces are finished, we hire a photographer and set up lighting and so on to make sure that there are lots of shadows showing up on the pieces, so that my favorite thing is to see someone pick up my book and actually run their hand over it as though they expect to feel some sort of texture or feel those braids of Anne sticking up off the page. So that was really important to make sure that there was a three-dimensionality to it as well.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. I'm looking at the Anne is Hopeful page now, and it's true. Like, part of why this is popping is I see the shadow there, and I didn't think about why it was having that effect. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I did want to also ask since these are such wonderful board books, and I know you have kids of your own, do you have any other favorite board books? Or picture books, and then in general, if there are any books you've been reading lately that you'd want to recommend.
Mm-hmm. So I was asking my daughters the other day what their favorite books were right now, and I have a daughter named Sadie, and there's a book called This is Sadie. It's by Sarah O'Leary and illustrated by Julie Morstad. So I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it is also, it's a picture book, and it's also a board book now as well.
I know it's Julie Morstad, and who was the other one?
The author is Sarah O'Leary.
Oh, okay. Julie Morstad, I know, I've definitely seen, and I actually, there was another book recently. I'm just looking this up because there was a book. Yep, it was her. All of a sudden I realized all these books that I was loving are Julie Morstad, like all the illustrations. Like, sometimes I don't piece it together until I've seen a few and go, wait, I keep seeing that name. Oh, because she did Bloom and How To. Yes. I loved her Swan book, and then House of Dreams. Oh, the Ellen Montgomery book, she did that one as well. Oh, that's funny that you mentioned her, because I literally just put those puzzle pieces together the other day that like, I love her.
Yeah, no, she is amazing. And she's a Canadian illustrator. She lives in Vancouver. So she's a favorite of mine, just about anything that she does. And then I think I mentioned that Tundra has a whole Anne program that they're publishing my board books. And then they've done an Anne of Green Gables picture book that's called Goodnight Anne. And it's illustrated by Genevieve Godbout, and she's incredible as well. And then they've done chapter books. Anne Arrives in Anne's Kindred Spirits, I think just came out. And those, so were basically, it's sort of Anne for every age up until you're old enough to read the original Anne of Green Gables. So those ones are great. Depending on what age your kids are, there's something for almost every age.
Yeah, I love seeing all of these Anne books for younger kids come out. And actually, I was wondering, is it because the book has been out for so long, like you don't have to like get permission from the L.M. Montgomery like estate or anything to do these sorts of books, do you? Or is it
you don't? Yeah, so I'm not sure that you have to, but we do. My publisher does. Mm. They have a relationship with the estate of Lucy Maud Montgomery, and they have certain copyrights on the image of Anne and that sort of thing. But yeah, because Anne of Green Gables itself is in the public domain, we don't have, there's no copyright issues, but we do check in with the estate, and they get a little bit of a royalty from my books as well. So that was just offered by the publisher to the estate to so that we have a great relationship with them. Yeah, I think it's great.
That's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. I didn't realize that. I know I had interviewed the author of Marilla of Green Gables, and I remembered she had mentioned that the estate sort of gave their blessing. It's nice that. I mean, I'm sure it's also bringing them in royalties, as you're saying, but it is nice that we are able to see these different spin-offs and adaptations, because I think there's so many Anne fans like myself that can't get enough. So it's nice that more and more of those keep coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't shut these things down. They kind of encourage them, which is amazing. Yeah. And it's also surprised me too. I did listen to your, podcast with Sarah McCoy.
Yeah
so and it was amazing to me too that you and she are both living in the U.S. and that you were so you knew the Megan Follows miniseries, which I think was made by CBC, our public broadcaster here. And it was just amazing to, like, in Canada a lot of our cultural icons aren't necessarily known elsewhere in the world, and people keep telling us that Anne of Green Gables is, but it's really nice to see evidence of that, and that people everywhere are enjoying her.
Oh yeah, I never thought about that before. Yes, Sarah McCoy and I definitely are both diehard fans. I think we were able to bond over our Anne nerdiness, but yeah, it's for me it felt like kind of a phenomenon, but I don't know that everyone was as obsessed with the Megan Follows movies, but I probably over the course of my childhood and still now have watched them like over 100 times. So,
right.
and I mentioned on that podcast too, I named my daughter after Anne. So definitely a super fan. But I think it really is around the world. It's funny. My husband actually knows what a big fan I am, and he had to go to Japan a while back for work and brought home a copy in Japanese of Anne of Green Gables, which I thought was cool. And I think they actually don't remember what the backstory is, but there's a big population of Anne fans there. So it really has such a following all over the world. It's so interesting to see.
I have heard that too, that a lot of the tourists to Green Gables and PEI are from Japan. And yeah, it's amazing to me that this story has reached so many people.
So. Yeah, that's wonderful. Did you have any other books you've been reading lately that you wanted to recommend?
Yeah, so just another children's book that I, an author that I would recommend, and you may know of her as an illustrator, Ellie Mackay. She, when I was redesigning those, the whole Anne series in paperback, we chose her to illustrate those, and she, her way of illustrating is she does all of her pictures and then cuts them out and sets them up into a theater that she lights and then she photographs, and you end up with just, she just ends up with these beautiful pieces of art. So that was, and then she also writes her own children's books. We just had a launch together. Her latest is called The Tallest Treehouse. So that's one that we're reading here a lot, and
Oh,
also
awesome.
because we know her and she's a friend.
Yeah.
So her stuff is beautiful. And you have to look up the Anne of Green Gables set. Do you, it that I designed and that she illustrated. So that was sort of the
Yes.
beginning of our relationship together.
Yeah,
So
I'll definitely link to those in the show notes and all the books you mentioned. I would love to see those as well. And I was just curious too, because I'm such a big fan of these board books. Are there going to be any more, or is it just the four?
I think it's just the four at the moment. There are no more on contract to do at the moment, but I'm trying to kind of figure out what I do want to do next. And yeah, I'm sort of open to what Tundra wants to do with those, but we sort of felt like the four books covers a broad range of what's in those books. Yeah, I wouldn't mind actually doing a little doing a calendar, say, of
Oh,
the
that would be
artwork
cool.
that is in those books, and maybe added with a little bit of fresh material in that. And then, yeah, I'm just sort of trying to. I have a book of sketches and ideas, but just ha need some time to sort of flesh a few things out. And
Yeah, for sure. Well, I will look forward to anything that is to come. I'm just such a big fan, and I love all the artwork so much. And I'm sure I will be reading them many, many times for the next couple years with my daughter. So I will look forward to that. But Kelly Hill, just thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing more about your process. It was so wonderful to get to chat with you. I hope you head to your local library or bookstore to pick up copies of this wonderful Anne of Green Gables board book series. You can follow Kelly Hill on Instagram at Kelly_Ann_Hill. For links to all of the books mentioned on this week's episode, you can visit the show notes at abookishhome.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at A Bookish Home to stay up to date on book recommendations and happenings with the podcast and blog. If you haven't yet subscribed, please take a moment to do that in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you also have a moment to rate or review, that would be so helpful. Thanks for listening and happy reading.